Praise the Lord. That's hard to follow, that one. Amen. I brought my wife, Bam, along. That was a joke. I was texting, and you need to read your texts. I usually do the kind of speak in the microphone, and sometimes I don't check. And I was anyhow. I was telling Don I was bringing myself and Bam along. Actually, her name's Barb. So anyhow, praise God. Good to be with you guys, folks today. Amen. I want to give some books away. How many here? I know this guy here. He's standing for faith for total. He's hard. Do you have his book or not? No. Now you have it. That's on healing. Anybody that's had a hard time going through a divorce or know someone that's going through a divorce and under condemnation? Anybody don't want to admit that, right? No. Anyhow, it's a good book on the grace of God. How about this one here, about another one I wrote here, Moving On to Perfection. It's talking about the church and where God's taking the church in these last days. Anybody would like this book? Put your hand up. There you go.
Yeah.
We have the other two.
You do. Now you got a complete set. Amen. Praise God. I do have a website, Dave Landis. No, PastorDaveLandis.com. You can go in there and buy them too. And be a blessing to you. Hey, man, let me get situated here. It's always good to come down to York. I feel like I've been part of this church from its very beginning. I remember when they first started this church way, way back. And I was there for some of those meetings. So, amen. Pastor Bill and I, we did a lot of traveling together overseas. Spent a lot of time on the trains with him and airplanes. And don't miss his snoring. You get Dale Armstrong and Bill together, you just were up all night. That's all I can say. But gotta love them, amen. Hallelujah. I'm retired, but not really retired. In fact, I'm busier now than what seems like what I was. But just new directions. And our church is still doing good up there in Harrisburg. And I'm still part of it. They honor me there. It's sort of nice how that worked out. I can be there and don't have all the responsibility anymore. And I get invited out to preach different places. We just go back from Florida, preaching down there in a church. So whatever God has, I'm there. I'm available. Amen. If you have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. As my apostolic gift, and we're not real familiar with that term. We were used to the terms pastors, but I am an apostle because I was sent. I remember when God gave me directions where to go, and after I left Rhema years ago, and he sent me back to the Harrisburg area and said, I want you to teach my people faith in central Pennsylvania, and I've been doing it faithfully. And then he added to that assignment years ago when I was over in Russia, up in Siberia, and he said, I want you to go to the Russian-speaking nations of the world and preach my gospel. So I've been doing that. And as an apostle, we're very basement, foundational oriented. How's that? I believe if you don't have a good foundation, you won't have a good building. How's that? And even in the natural, my job was as a bricklayer, was my trade, and we did a lot of foundations and basements and things like that. So God has used me to form foundations in people's lives. And if you get a good foundation, you'll last. Amen? We just spent some time with an old Army buddy that used to come to our church way, way back. They live in Florida half the year now. And it was just good to see the foundation I had laid in their lives and where God has taken them. You know, it's good to see foundationals that hold up. Amen. And now I know this church has a good foundation. Right. Pastor Bill was a good foundational worker, too. Amen. 1 John 2. I'm giving you plenty of time to find it. 1 John chapter 1, actually only one chapter, no, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, it says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And he's writing to the church that was dealing with Antichrist spirit that had entered into the church, some false doctrines, things like that. And he says, you have an unction, you have an anointing. Let's say this, I have an anointing. And I know all things. That's just what God's word says about you. Amen. And it's important that you know some things. Amen. Knowledge is good. Amen. Knowledge can puff you up, but knowledge with love can really work out some good things in your life. But he's, again, we have an unction from the Holy One, who is the Holy Spirit, and we know all things. And he's called the Helper. Amen. He's called the Comforter. You know, if you was talking to Donna and did you how God has comforted her heart, you know, through all this, and he will comfort you. Amen. Supernaturally. Amen. He'll help you supernaturally. He'll direct your steps supernaturally. He'll give you wisdom, which I'm going to be talking about here today. And wisdom is that ability to use knowledge. You can have a lot of knowledge, but not know how to do things. But when you get wisdom and knowledge together, you have something. In fact, the book of Proverbs says, with all you're getting, get it. Get wisdom, get understanding. Amen. It's a principal thing. So the more wisdom you have, the better off you'll be in life. How many ever made some bad decisions? One or two, at least one or two in our lives. Aren't you glad for God's mercy and grace?
Yes.
Amen. Aren't you glad that God has a GPS that says, you ever make a wrong turn on GPS? What's it say? Recalculating? How many times has God said recalculate, huh? I remember the story when the guy, his GPS first came out. He was so excited. He had some directions. He could just, you know, turn the GPS and go somewhere. Didn't have to have his wife telling him where to turn and so forth. And he's just driving down the road and first plugged in an address, and all of a sudden he hears a woman's voice saying, turn left, turn We need women to help us drive, don't we, guys? Amen. But again, he's there to help us through life. In fact, Jesus said it was better that he would leave than stay. They didn't quite grasp that. He said, if I don't go, I can't send the Helper or the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. And he will guide you. He'll direct your steps. He'll be with you. He'll be in you. In fact, we as Pentecostals, we believe that he fills us. You know, we have some Baptist brothers that believe he's in us, and that's good. He is in us, but we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a Pentecostal church, isn't it? Okay. It's good to know that we can be filled with the Spirit and have that spirit of understanding and wisdom inside of us as well. In fact, his first assignment, when you get born again, he begins to witness to you that you are a child of God. That's how you know you're born again. He'll begin to witness, it says in Romans. He bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. He'll tell you. You start looking at things differently. Remember you got born again and things changed? Well, the world looked different. It's because the Holy Spirit unveiled his wisdom inside you. And every believer has access to this influence. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, you had to depend upon the prophet, the priest, or the king to hear God's voice. But in this New Testament, he dwells in each one of us. And like I said before, we can become led by the Spirit. Brother Tim Meyer, I don't know if you remember that name, Tim Meyer, he lives in Florida now, but he would come to our church and he said, how many of you want to be led of the Spirit? Everybody puts their hand up and says, well, people said they want to be led all the time. He says, what I did, I put a piece of lead in my pocket so I could feel led. He didn't get that. If you need a piece of lead, put it in your pocket so you can feel led to witness. Amen. Feel led to do some other things. But he will guide us and direct our steps through his leading. In fact, he'll give you an inner peace. Yeah, there's nothing like knowing. In fact, the Bible describes it as an umpire. There's a peace that'll pass all understanding. The Amplified says it'll act as an umpire inside your inner man. You'll just know that you know that it's God directing your steps. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. Got a lot to say here, and we'll get it done. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to start here reading verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You ever try to talk to someone that's not saved about the things of the kingdom? They look at you like a deer in headlights, you know. Well, again, they can't receive these things. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Again, that's why we're to be born again, where our spirit comes alive and we can become aware of spiritual things. We can understand. We can have understanding. We can know things. Like we started out, we have an unction now. We have a Holy One who inspires us, who anoints us to know things. You don't have to be in the dark anymore. You can fix things. I remember years ago, I like Mercedes, like a stucco Mercedes years ago, and I have a bunch of them. They're getting older, but I try to fix them myself, and I had one that I just couldn't get it fixed. Took it to a mechanic who came from Germany, and now was working in the United States, worked in Mercedes and so forth, and all he worked on was Mercedes, and he couldn't get it fixed. In fact, he said, I think your car's demon-possessed. I said, no, it's not demon-possessed. So I had it towed home. And I remember praying in the Holy Ghost. How many pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray in tongues. We're going to talk about that. And I began to pray in the Spirit. And I said, Holy Spirit, you know what's wrong with this car. Show me. And he gave me a word. What was wrong? He said, your manifold. Now, that don't mean much if you don't know about mechanics, but my car had over, at that time, about 250,000 miles on it. And so I got up that morning, I went out in the garage, and I took the manifold off, and here my manifold had clogged up. And it was not allowing the car to breathe. It could idle real good, but you tried to drive down the road, you go 5-10 miles per hour. Remember you followed me to the garage that time? She's having a fit. But, you know, all it was clogged up. I got to drill out, and there was a wire mesh inside there, I guess for noise reasons, the Mercedes. And so many miles in the car, and it just had melted down and clogged up half of my breathing system of the car. Cleared that out, boom, started up, and drove another 250,000 miles. But the Holy Ghost helped me. See, we can ask. He's the creator of all things. All things were created for and by him. Doesn't your Bible say that?
Yes.
He knows everything. And I can tap into his wisdom and his understanding by praying in the Spirit. I'm not a natural man. I'm a supernatural man. You're a supernatural person if you're in Christ Jesus. We have access. We have an advantage. We do. We just need to tap into that power. Amen. And get that wisdom. It's there for us. Amen. I didn't mean to give that testimony about that car, but I sort of missed that car. I finally got so rusted I had to get rid of it. But anyhow, down here, in fact, in Isaiah 55, I want you to go to Isaiah 55 with me. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit who dwells in us as believers. And he wants us to know things. He says in verse 8, this is God speaking here. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now stop reading there a second. You know, you need to read the Bible in context.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, the context here, he's speaking to wicked people. Wicked means twisted. They're twisted in their thinking. They didn't think right about God. So that's not you and I, amen?
That's right.
We're believers. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And I hear Christians say, well, God's ways are so above our ways. It is wonders to perform. We never know what God's going to do. It's not true. You need to read the book. We have a copy of his wisdom in the Word. And then we have the Holy Spirit who dwells in us that will unveil that Word to us. And we can know that we know the truth. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Again, talking to wicked people here. And my thoughts than your thoughts, wicked people. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. He sent his word so we'd understand him. We have the written word, we had Jesus, and now we have the Holy Ghost inside us to understand God. Now, don't get me wrong, he is so more vast than we are, and you're never going to learn everything about God even until we step out of here and we get into that realm where we don't have all the distractions. You understand that? People that have gone on to glory, they have a whole deeper understanding of God than we do. But the Holy Ghost will show us and unveil these deeper things of God if we want to take the time to tap into that. Amen? I know I'm preaching to the choir here this morning, but that's okay. Amen. Zach, down here in verse 15 of this same chapter, not the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where are we at here? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and down here in verse 15, I believe it is. Give me a minute, I'll catch. Here we go. But he, in verse 15, it says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of Christ, or excuse me, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the what? The mind of Christ. We can think and understand that anointing. Christ means anointing and anointed one. We can understand the Holy Spirit as he speaks inside of us. Hallelujah. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 6, back up here in verse 6 it is, howbeit we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, does that sound familiar to another verse in Corinthians?
Yes.
Howbeit we speak what? Mysteries. Divine secrets, as one translation says. We speak the deep things of God when we speak in tongues, when we pray in tongues. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues, which is used in a public assembly. You understand the difference between a gift of tongues, which is God will speak to us as a group, and then we need an interpretation, don't we? And if no one's there to interpret, it says keep it to yourself. So that means, you know, you just don't go into some place and just spout off a tongue. I've had that, you know. You need to know what's going on in that place. You need to know them that labor amongst you. That's a whole other subject. It's important that we understand between the gift, which is, again, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, where God is speaking to us. And it talks about it in Corinthians, how it's a sign for the unbeliever. And I believe as we get, in fact, the day and age we're living, we're having more and more different nationalities come into our midst, that God will use that in our congregation as a sign to an unbeliever. And you need to bring unbelievers to the church. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, I know my dad, he's traveled to Holy Lands a lot. I think he's there about 6 or 7 times, but he said one time they were in the upper room and he gave a tongue and there was an interpretation of a tongue, and here the guide, who was Arab, understood every word that my dad had spoken and the interpretation, and it made him want to think about becoming a believer. That's what we see in the day of Pentecost. They spoke, heard them speak in their own dialect. It got their attention. Amen? But I'm talking about you. The sign of you being filled with the Holy Ghost is when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you have the evidence, as Pentecostals say, of speaking in tongues. Amen? And prophesy. So we have that ability to speak in an unknown tongue. Unknown to me, but not unto God. He understands. And we can speak, again, divine mysteries. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, go there with me. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. I know this is some foundational stuff here, but it's good to be reminded of this. In fact, the Holy Spirit said, remind my body that they need to pray in tongues more than they had ever before. And I know for myself, I do most of my praying in tongues. I'm not much of a talker anyhow outside of preaching. You've been around me, I'll talk to you. Get me on the right subject, we can talk. But I'm not a talker. You understand? So I thank God for tongues. Right? My prayer life would be very little. I wouldn't know what to say to God too much. But I can get in tongues and just pray for hours. Amen? In the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So it's been made available to us, this wisdom. Again, it comes from our union with Him. Now, we had read there that had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified Jesus. See, again, it was a divine secret. The devil didn't know what he was doing when he hung Jesus on the cross. Motivated those people to do that. Are you with me?
Yes.
Man, it's like, I'm a World War II buff, so I do World War II reenactment. I'm a chaplain in a unit. And during World War II, we had what we called the Wind Talkers. How many of you saw that movie, The Wind Talkers? What they did, they got some Navajo Indians, and they put them in the service, in the military, and put them, they did most of the communications. And the Japanese couldn't break the code. They couldn't break down their language. And when I'm praying in tongues, the devil can't break down my language. I don't speak unto men. I speak directly unto God. And he's in the dark. He don't know what's going on in my life. We have an advantage, amen? But you have to take time to do it, amen? Hallelujah. I'll put it this way. God has already provided every answer you will ever have need of. It's there for us. He can look into your future and provide for you, but you got to trust in Him. You got to take the time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Again, it's all by His grace that we receive this. And it was hidden not from us, but for us as believers. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Just be glad I used notes or we'd be here all day. In fact, verse 9, I think it's the same chapter here. Where we have 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it is. Chapter 2 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're all over the place here. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God.
Hallelujah.
But God. See, you can't just read one verse. You've got to keep reading context. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. I want to know some of the deep things about my Heavenly Father.
Okay.
Most Christians, they just babies. I want to get into the deeper things of God, the wisdom of God, understanding His perspective of things, getting His heart and mind. We have the mind of Christ. You get His heart, it's even better. Hallelujah. He says in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now really, some people know me, but they don't really know me. The only way you really get to know Dave Landis is to get inside me. Get in my head. Get inside me, how I think, how I act. The only way I could really know God is for God to get inside me and to unveil how He thinks and how He acts. And that's the privilege we have as believers. Gets inside of us. Hallelujah. So that we can know the things of the Spirit. Amen. I thank God for this. Now, how does prophecy fit into all this? Thank God for prophecy. I believe in prophecy, prophesying. But, you know, again, you need to be led of the Holy Ghost, not by people's prophecies. Prophecies will confirm what God is speaking to you. You understand that? I've seen people really get sidetracked, and you know, because a prophet came through and said you're to sell your house and become a missionary. And you know, Jesus himself would have to tell me, appear in person for me to make that kind of a drastic change in my life. You understand that? And he knows how I am, so he'd give me enough time to work on me for a while. Because I'm not real fast when it comes to things of spirit. I want to make sure it's God. I want to make sure I have a peace that passes all understanding. Some people think they just go off running. I'm a marathon runner. I'm in for the long run, this thing. Amen. And there's a lot of 50-yard dashers in the body of Christ. I'm in for the long run. And I pace myself. And I learn to trust in God and to hear His voice. And I do hear His voice. That's part of my confession. All right, how did I get off on that? Again, we get to speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, so that God's divine order for your life can be manifested in your life. Amen? Again, we know a lot about God through the Bible, but the things will only be known to you through the Holy Spirit, the deep things of God. He'll take the Word and take you even deeper in the Word. And again, 1 Corinthians 14:2, I've been quoting this. Look at it so you have it in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Same Greek word that we read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak these divine secrets, as some translations say. You'll speak the will of God for your life. How's that? Amen. Amen. Again, it doesn't come from speaking your own known language. It comes when you begin to tap into the unknown, the Holy Spirit. And this is why Satan fights speaking in tongues. You understand? There's some churches that say you're of the devil if you speak in tongues. Maybe many of you came out of churches like that, didn't you? You got baptized in the Holy Ghost and you started speaking in tongues, and they didn't want you around anymore. And that's a good thing in that sense. Amen. I know growing up in the Pentecostal church, we thought if you weren't didn't speak in tongues, you weren't saved. But I found that's not true as well. Amen? You can still go to heaven without ever speaking in tongues. But you can have heaven, a little more heaven on this earth when you do speak in tongues. Absolutely. Hallelujah. And he does fight it. He just fights it. But the moment you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you'll find out he'll begin to teach you the languages of heaven. And that's in verse 14, I think, here of 1 Corinthians. Again, yeah, they're spiritually discerned. He'll begin to teach you the languages of heaven. Unknown to you, but not unto God. Amen. He'll begin to speak mysteries, strategies, and plans that He's planned for your life. You know how God has a plan for your life?
He does.
You better know what it is or find out what it is. Because you're going to stand someday before Him and give an account of the plan. You know, the Bible talks about He'll wipe the tears from their eyes. I believe He's talking about people there that missed it. They're there. They made it. Thank God you made it to heaven. But I want to get full reward. Amen? Well, there we go. Well done. Not well. You had to explain yourself. No, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. And I've had to determine that. I mean, just a few years ago when I began to I knew God was telling me to step back and let a younger man take the pulpit. You know, that's hard for some preachers to do that because they think they're the gift. But, you know, I heard God say that. And it worked out. You know, we got a younger man in there. And he's doing well. Good transition. You know, hallelujah. The church is growing. Hallelujah. But you need to hear God. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I'm preaching to myself now. I know that. Again, we can know all things. We have the mind of Christ. Again, Satan didn't know that you'd become saved, or he'd try harder to stop you. So he doesn't know all things. He's not all knowing. He's limited. You understand that? So, you know, when I pray in tongues, I'm praying the will of God. He don't know what I'm praying. And God works it out in my life. Amen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 again. I thank God for speaking in tongues, like I said. 1 Corinthians 14. And I want to read verse 16. Paul giving some instruction here on about praying in the Spirit, praying in your understanding, praying in tongues. Talks about, gives some instruction in public assembly, how we're to use it and so forth. He says in verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, he's talking about if we are all coming here, we're all just speaking in tongues, everybody's giving a tongue, it would sound a little confusing to someone that didn't come in and didn't understand it. Amen? He said, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeth he understands not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So speaking in tongues is a great way to give thanks.
Yes.
And if anything I've learned about God is he likes people that are appreciative. Scriptures talk about our prayers with thanksgiving. Amen. I like to be around people that are thankful. You've been around someone that takes advantage of you and doesn't say thanks, and you went out of your way to help them. I often say, you just be glad I'm not God. But we can give thanks well. That's how I want to give thanks. So a lot of my praying in tongues is giving thanks well, according to the Scripture.
Yes.
Amen. And that's part of living by faith. What does faith do? It gives thanks before you ever see it. Hear it, taste, touch, or smell it, doesn't it? So again, by praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues, I'm giving thanks well. And I know that he appreciates that. And he understands my appreciation of him. In a day go by, I don't thank God for something. Or in my known language, let alone in the Spirit. I'm so thankful that I was born in America.
Yes.
You know, I get frustrated. These people out there protest. I was like, get out of here if you don't like it. You know, go somewhere else and live. Are you with me? I have to be careful that I stay in the Spirit, not in the flesh. My wife keeps me under control. Hallelujah. But, you know, I'm thankful for food. I pray over my food. The Bible says we pray over our food. It's sanctified with what? Thanksgiving. Kills the germs in there. Amen. The germs die. You don't know who's cooking that food. You go to a restaurant. We eat out a lot. So you really have to pray over the food. Too bad it doesn't kill the calories. But it killed the germs. Amen. So we give thanks well. I'm talking about what the Bible says. Praying in tongues. That's why the devil fights it so much. He don't want you praying in tongues. He don't want you filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants you to be, you know, used to be sad and grumbling and complaining all the time, not being thankful. But as I step into the Spirit, I bypass him. Just like the wind talkers, they can't interpret my prayers. Hallelujah. Again, we give thanks well. In fact, Jude, verse 20, go to Jude. Big book in the Bible. If you read this one, you can tell everybody, I read a whole book today. Hallelujah. He says in verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, again, the Bible says we speak in an unknown tongue, we edify ourselves. 1 Corinthians tells us that. That word edify means to build up, to charge. Keeps my spirit man charged up. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that will drain you nowadays. You need to be charged up. You need to be full of the Spirit. And I'll say this right now, just because you were baptized in the Holy Ghost back in 1925 or 1954 or whenever it was you were baptized, you need to constantly be filled.
Amen.
The Greek word is continually filled. Just because I had a glass of water yesterday or had a bath yesterday don't mean I'm clean today. I need water. Are you with me? I need every day a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need to speak in tongues. Stay filled. I got to keep my car filled up with gas. Amen. If you have an electric car, you got to keep it charged up. Barb said, wonder if I was going to buy one of these electric cars. I said, I hate charging my phone. You have to charge my car. Even though I like to help Elon out right now. The poor guy's going through stuff, isn't he? Just because he's trying to clean house and straighten some things out. I say the piglets are screaming, aren't they? But ye beloved, building again, edifying yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, keep reading sometimes. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. By me praying in the Spirit, it keeps me in the love walk. If anything I can say that will go to the success I've had in ministry for 40, boys, I better update, it's about 45, 46 years now, I guess, but is the fact that I've learned to walk in love. And you know, you can get your feelings hurt, people will let you down, there's, especially when you're trying to be an example and they don't follow your example. You can get offended quickly, amen. But I've learned to forgive. In fact, I've lowered my standards so low for people. I just have. I decided just lower the standard and just lower them down. I was the worship director for our church for many years, did the worship led. And man, you get around people in worship, they're musicians and singers, they're touchy people. But you know, I had all these rules. You know, you had to be at church service this amount of time. You had to be at the practice. You had to do. And man, nobody keep my rules. I'd go to church and get in strife, man. I finally said, forget the rules. Just show up. I'll love on you. And that doesn't work too well either. But kept me out of strife. Amen. I learned to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues. You know, actually, that's what God did. He took away His law that was perfect and set it aside. It's not by the law anymore, keeping all this and doing that. He just loves us. Thought I'd act like my Father. It's called grace. Amen. And mercy. Another subject altogether. But looking for it. So you can look for it. Amen. When you start walking in love and praying in tongues, building yourself, you're strong. You're like a strong edifice. You're charged. Actually, the Greek word implies I'm charging a battery. They didn't charge batteries back in those days, but you're charging your inner man, and you're staying strong.
Yes.
And then you can pour out when you're strong. Amen? Your cup's full. You're overflowing. Amen? You're a blessing. As we close today, I want to offer those that have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, we could teach you on that in the book of Acts, how at least four or five times where they came, they found certain believers and they said, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? They said, we haven't heard about the Holy Ghost. They were already believers. They believed in Jesus as Lord. He died and hung on the cross and died for the sins, but they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. And what they do, they laid their hands on them, and they were what? Filled with the Spirit. They spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. Philip was having, in the beginning of the book of Acts, they're having revival. People are getting saved. And Peter and John came down, and they laid hands on these people to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Lord was speaking to me and said, I want you to get your hands on some more people in these days. Get them baptized in the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's people that come to churches like this, don't speak in tongues. But it's for you. Amen? Can we stand? Hallelujah. If you're in this place today, you're already saved. You probably are. Born again. But you've never spoken an unknown tongue. I will lay hands on you. The Bible says that if you ask for the Holy Ghost, He'll not give you, a fish. He'll give you a Holy Ghost. You got to ask. Amen? Jesus is the baptizer. You understand? He'll baptize you with what? Fire. That's the Holy Spirit. If you're in this place today, you never have spoken in tongues, I want to lay hands on you and give you a charge here today, and your battery will be charged. You'll go out of here. I remember my brother got filled with the Holy Ghost years ago. He couldn't speak in English for about a week. He went to school, couldn't talk in English.